Whitaker.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Thursday, February 10th. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Amrick?
Here.
Esquivel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Excused.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Platern?
Here.
President Anderson?
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer by Father Cronkleton.
Let us pray. Lord God, when you told King Solomon that he could have whatever he asked, he chose a visitor. For a visitor, you blessed him for his whole, because he asked not for wealth or power, nor did he ask for a long life and bitter health. He asked to be able to make the dependent, give him prosperity, longevity, and peace, in addition to fulfilling his request to visit him. As we stand before you this morning, as those entrusted to govern the people of this great state, we speak the following example as sovereign. We ask for this.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 9th, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is John Healy, a doctor from Cheyenne. We have no nurse. On this day in Wyoming history, in 1903, a bill to abolish capital punishment was introduced into the legislature. On this day in U.S. history, the Pennsylvania Railroad began passenger service with its new streamlined electric locomotive. The engine was 79 and a half feet long and weighed 230 tons. With that, Senator Martin, I would extend to you the privilege of the floor. I understand you have some introductions.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is with great pleasure that I have the opportunity to introduce Boy Scouts and Scout leaders from Troop 70 in Rock Springs. And if they will stand when I call their names, I'd appreciate it. Marco Rubeck is a Scoutmaster of Troop 70. Bud Allen is the district exec. Terry Sell, David Thorne, Matt O'Hara, Corey Sainer, Tanner Lindig is the senior patrol leader. Brandon Thorne. Caden Hearn. Joy King. Derek Bittner. Trevor O'Hara. Nick Sarsdale. And Ryan O'Hara is a Cub Scout and he's down here on the end. Would you please give them a grand Senate welcome?
And Marco, if you would come over here for a minute by me. Marco, what I'd like to present you with this morning is a joint resolution signed by all the members of the 61st Legislature in recognition for your efforts in regard to a joint resolution for your adopting an official state script for the retirement of the Wyoming state flag. The United States Flag Code states that the flag, when it is in such condition that it is no longer a fitting emblem for display, should be destroyed in a dignified way, preferably by burning, and it says the Wyoming state flag is a symbol of solidarity and strength for our state. As an honorable emblem reflecting the character, the culture, and the courage of Wyoming and its citizens, the flag should be retired in a distinguished and dignified manner, and various scripts are available to use for the retirements of the United States flag. It is appropriate to adopt a script to be recited on the solemn occasion of Wyoming's flag retirement to be recognized for the importance of the flag in our lives throughout the history of this state. So therefore, be it resolved that all the undersigned members of the legislature in Wyoming recognize this as the official script, and it was compiled by you, Marco Rubeck, for the retirement of the Wyoming state flag. And so for that, we not only recognize you, but we thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You'd like to make any of your remarks?
What an opportunity to say thank you very much. There's been a lot of people that have helped us to do this. And Senator Marty Martin, when I finally found the right person to do the right job, he come forward at full speed. He's done everything that I've asked. He's got me in the right contacts, the right places at the right time, the right people. And Marty, thank you so very much. My Boy Scout troop, not my Boy Scout troop, but our Boy Scout troop, we're going to do a mock flag retirement at noon in the rotunda. You're all cordially invited to come down and see how we do this. It'll be the first official time that this has been done. And because we can't have a fire down there, we have, it's going to look like a fire, but it's not really. But I'd like for all of you to come down to celebrate with these young boys from the Boy Scouts of America, Troop 70 in Rock Springs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scouts, and we'll be looking forward to the ceremony over the noon hour. Messages from the House.
February the 9th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 251, Abortion Ultrasound Information. Ayes 34, noes 25, excused 1. House Bill 256, Wyoming Safe Homes Act 2. Ayes 33, noes 26, excused 1. February the 9th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message, failed motion to reconsider. Mr. President, having failed a motion to reconsider by the vote indicated below, the following bill has been indefinitely postponed. House Bill number 191, Wind Power Taxation. Ayes 57, noes 32, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Yes, Senator Coe.
Senate file, or House Bill 72 was read in yesterday, and it does have an appropriations, and I would request it be re-referred to committee number 2.
Thank you, Senator Cole. The request is that House Bill 72 be re-referred to committee number 2. If there are no objections, that would be so ordered. Any other announcements, or before we move on, let's go on then to the House bills on first reading. House Joint Resolution 3, first reading of the House Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 3, resolution to Congress and the United States Supreme Court. A joint resolution demanding Congress cease and desist from enacting mandates beyond the enumerated powers granted to Congress by the United States Constitution, sponsored by Representative Childress. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 49, 10, noes 10, excused 1.
House Joint Resolution 3 has been referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 241. First reading of the House bill.
House Bill 241, School Districts Assessments, an act relating to student assessment, sponsored by Representative Harshman. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 241 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 163, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 163, Water Produced from Geologic Sequestration, and Act Relating to Water, sponsored by Representative Stewart. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 43, noes 16, excused 1.
House Bill 163 is referred to Committee 5, Agriculture. House Bill 246, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 246, National Guard Disposal of Land, an act relating to the Military Department and the Board of Land Commissioners, sponsored by Representative Qualberg. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 246 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 235, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 235, Natural Gas Vehicles, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by Representative Roscoe. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 33, noes 26, excused 1.
House Bill 235 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 208, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 208, Off-Road Vehicle Registration Exemption, and Act Relating to Off-Road Vehicles, sponsored by Representative Shepherdson. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 208 is referred to Committee 8, Transportation. House Bill 207, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 207, Protection of Activities in Private Vehicles, and Act Relating to Employment, sponsored by Representative Crone. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 36, noes 23, excused 1.
House Bill 207 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Reports from standing committees.
February the 9th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 13, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass, amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Cole, Jennings, Landon, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could have privilege of the floor.
You may.
Please. Fellow senators, we have some of the top ninth grade students in the state with us this morning. They come from my district at Kelly Walsh High School. Instructor Rose Danino is up there with them, and would you please help them feel welcome, and I hope they have a great time at the legislature today. Welcome.
Well, welcome, students, and we see a pair of proud parents up there, too, and we'd welcome them as well. Bill's on second reading. House Bill 30, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 30, execution of judgment lien, sponsored by Representative Gingery.
There are no amendments. House Bill 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 68, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 68, violent felony definition expansion, sponsored by Representative Buchanan.
I'll read this bill in and then we'll get to you. House Bill 68, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. President, I was asked to, seeing the absence of one of our members, to get Lay 68
I'm
back.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. He had asked that, I guess it's all right, but he had asked that, he wanted an opportunity to explain some of the provisions, and that way if individuals wanted to question or offer amendments for a third reading and for a comfort zone for that.
Well, having said that, I think that that opportunity could be provided on third reading as well, but Senator Case?
Perhaps the President could offer the gentleman privilege of the floor, and he could explain it as a part of the privilege of the floor at a later point in second reading or at another.
We could do that. Okay? We'd offer privilege of the floor to do. Okay. House Bill 75, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 75, Victim Notification Amendments, sponsored by Representative Escobel.
Okay, there are no amendments. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the bill? House Bill 75, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 98, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 98, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses, sponsored by Representative Stubson.
There are no amendments. Anyone to speak to the bill? House Bill 98, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 109, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 109, Wyoming Infrastructure Authority, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
There is an amendment. I'd ask that the reading clerk read that amendment in at this time.
House Bill 109, second reading amendment number 1, delete the Cooper Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Bebout, would you like to move and speak to the amendment, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109. Members of the Senate, we had some very good discussion yesterday about constitutional provisions and the language we had in this particular bill and if there was a better way to do it. I will tell you, a member of the Senate, that your two electricians, myself and my colleague from the Lincoln County, tried to be constitutional lawyers. We didn't get very far, so we spent a bunch of time with our staff. And we circulated to you this morning an opinion from our Attorney General. It was done in
February 18th, 2008. And, Mr. President, the critical part about this is the Whitzenberger case. And if you look on page 4 of that particular opinion by our Attorney General, it said there is no constitutional limitation on the creation of a separate corporate body to, as a state instrumentality, perform governmental functions having a public purpose. With that right goes the implied authority to lend financial support for purely administrative purposes. And, Mr. President, if you look at the amendment, the language we struck was the language that had been in the bill previously, and we inserted, any appropriation to the authority shall be used only for financial support for purely administrative purposes. And, Mr. President, the main reason for that exact language is that is the language that came from the Whitzenberger case. It clearly is the law of our state. And the Attorney General opinion only elevates it to a higher level. I will also point out to you, Mr. Chairman, in the conclusions on the back of it, I won't read it, but it states very similar things, and it gets into the area of works for, of internal improvement, which we had in the previous part of the bill, and it was included after yesterday's Committee of the Whole amendments. We thought that it was more appropriate to take that out, given the nature of the Attorney General's opinion. I would be glad to answer any questions. I think this really clarifies what we're trying to do with this particular with these particular agencies. And we really need to have the quasi body. One of the things that I want to reiterate to the members of the Senate is that this quasi agency is authorized to issue bonds, and the state does not have their full faith and credit behind these bonds. This agency does, and they're secured by the revenues from that particular entity that they would issue the bonds for. So if it were to be a pipeline, that they would, in fact, issue the bonds. The state does not lend its full faith and credit to that. Wyoming Pipeline Authority would have that responsibility, and the revenue stream would come from the pipeline itself. I think this really clearly is consistent with Attorney General's opinion, is consistent with the Constitution. I think it does what we want it to do. I'd ask for your support.
Any other discussion in regard to the amendment? Senator Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. President. And I think the opinion does resolve the issue with respect to Article 3, Section 36, which we is generally called the anti-appropriation clause, which prohibits the appropriation to any entity that's not under the absolute control of the state. And what the opinion says, citing other states' authority, is that there is a public purpose exception to that, and this quasi-governmental entity can receive monies. I think that addresses the issue. I think during the interim, though, we ought to be taking a look at the issue with respect to can we, since these are quasi-governmental entities, they're receiving direct funds, is it appropriate that they can borrow money directly from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account? If you read the opinion at the end, it says the opinion has no difficulty with those instances where loans are being or borrowing is being occurred in the private sector and there's absolutely no exposure to the state. But in these instances where there might be, we've granted authority to either go to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund or to the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, seems to me that we still have at least two problems. One is the state is exposed to losing that money if the investment goes bad. Its second issue is that does now look like the state is engaged in works of public improvement. And finally, I think there are restrictions on the use of the LSRA funds, and it may be restricted, so those funds should not or cannot be reached for improvements. But that's seems to me that that's an interim topic to be looked at and making sure that as we expand the scope of this entity, put more public funds into it, we make sure that it's confined to the constitutional purposes and restrictions.
Senator Bebel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate your comments. Appropriation Committee Chairman, and he's talking about existing language in our current statutes, and we definitely will take a look at that. I think he makes a good point, and during the interim would be a good time.
Any other discussion? Question being called in regard to second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 109. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. House Bill 109 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 113, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 113, Wyoming Pipeline Authority, sponsored by the Minerals Committee.
There is an amendment. I ask that the reading clerk read that first amendment in at this time, please.
House Bill 113, second reading amendment number one, delete the Jennings Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Bebout, would you like to move and discuss the amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 113. Members of the Senate, the Constitutional or the Attorney General's opinion that you have in front of you dealt with this area as well. For the Wyoming Pipeline Authority, the arguments are just the same. The language is the same. If you look at it on lines 8 through 11, any appropriation to the authority shall be used only for financial support for purely administrative purposes. And also, Mr. President, the same discussion we had about no full faith and credit behind the bonds that we discussed on the previous House bill apply to this one as well. I would ask for your support.
Questions? Senator Hines?
Mr. President, I had one question on the bond. Would it be a pipeline company that issuing the bonds or the pipeline authority? Where we state that the state have no liability if the pipeline authority that is part of state government issuing the bond, and then that something goes wrong where the company go broke or whatever happens that they can't pay the bonds. How does the liability come back then? Is there no liability at all? The people that bought bonds are completely at risk?
Other questions? But yes, go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Along those same lines, in terms of the administrative costs, one of the authorities that these folks have is the right of eminent domain. Does that include hiring the staff to exercise eminent domain?
Other questions before the sponsor responds? Other questions regarding this amendment? Seeing none, Senator Bebout, would you like to respond to those questions, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President, for my second time. First question about the authority and the bonds and who would own the bonds. And I was trying to find the exact language in the statutes. It's on 375102 under the purposes of the Wyoming Pipeline Authority. And it definitely, they would be the entity that would issue the bonds. The state may purchase some of the bonds. They may not. That's up to the state treasurer under the prudent investor rule. The state is not obligated in any way, shape, or form with their full faith and credit to those bonds. If those bonds should go defunct, the state is not obligated to step up and pay for the bonds. However, if the state should have invested in the bonds, then their investment is at risk. As to the second question about eminent domain, you know, as I looked at the Attorney General's opinion and we looked at general administrative expenses and what when we put that word purely in there, I think that the eminent domain issue is a separate issue handled by separate statutes. And I don't think the authority is in the pipeline authority to go after and do eminent domain. I think that would be up to the owner of the pipeline that would issue that, not the pipeline authority. So I don't think they're involved in that issue at all.
Other questions or comments? Question four is in regard to third reading amendment number one to House Bill. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 113. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. There are no other amendments. We're now back on the bill. Any discussion on the House Bill 113? House Bill 113 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 115, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 115, Charter Schools Application, sponsored by Representative Teeters.
There are no amendments. Any discussion? House Bill 115, Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 117, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 117, Data Processing Services Centers Tax Exemption, sponsored by Representative Illaway.
There is an amendment. I'd ask that the reading clerk read that amendment in at this time.
House Bill 117, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 6.
Senator Schiffer, would you like to move this amendment and speak to it, please?
I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 117. Mr. President, what this amendment does, it provides for a little bit of accountability in this tax exemption. Mr. President, I'll walk through the bill, through the amendment, and explain what it does. It's starting on page 1. It requires the foreign company to go ahead and pay their sales tax. It creates a special account. The money goes into that account. The money draws interest at 4%, and both for sales and the use tax. It goes on to say that at the end of a 5-year period, the company gets paid the taxes that they paid in terms of sales and use tax with the interest, That way, let me deal with what that does. That makes sure the company's still here. These are very portable. We've both seen and heard companies that have come into the state. They'll stay for a while. They'll get the benefits. And then they get lured to some other state or some other location. This kind of ensures that on 5-year intervals, we certainly keep the company within the state and all the blessings that they bestow upon the state. It goes on in Section 2, and this is so we can take kind of a look at this, and says in return for the $160 million tax break we're giving you, we kind of want to know what we as a state are getting. And what this asks, the Wyoming Business Council to keep an eye on this and give a report to the Interim Revenue Committee and the Governor every fifth year, which is coincides with when we pay them back their taxes. The report shall evaluate the cumulative effects of this exemption, which include, and I'm down on page 2, 1, the history of employment in terms of numbers. We're asking specifically for the types of workers that work in these outfits. We use the North American Industry Classification System Code. That's what identifies the employees. We ask for the number, both full-time and part-time, and the rates of turnover that they're using, and a comprehensive history. We're going to track the property taxes they're paying. As Mr. President will recall, we've had some entities come into the state, get a tax benefit in terms of sales and use tax, and then occasionally a property tax incentive, and then go back and appeal the property tax and settle at a much, much lower rate than what they promised us when they came in. This is really, we've talked a great deal about accountability during this session in terms of other areas. This is saying, If the state is going to exempt you from the taxes that all the other citizens pay, we want to know what we're getting for our money. I'd be glad to try and answer any questions, and I encourage your wholehearted, enthusiastic, smiling support.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I see a little bit of a flaw here that maybe the author would like to go back and work on. With these data centers on a 5-year shift or program on there, that's about what time the equipment goes obsolete. So if you're going to tell them that they have to stay here 5 years so that they stay here for 10 years or 20 years or whatever, when you put the five-year on them, well, if I was one of these that the good senator from up in the war country is talking about, is I'd stay tight for my 5 years. If I was lured away into one of these other states, I go ahead and cut my deal over there knowing I'm going to get a pot of money in 5 years and then tell you, see you around. So I understand what the author's trying to do, but I think with that five-year thing and the obsolescence of the equipment being 4 to 5 years, it really doesn't do what they're trying to do. It just gives them that moving money that they might want to have if they actually did move.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask that the amendment be divided.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Division number one would begin on page one, line two, all the way through the end. It would continue over on page two, beginning at line one through line 27. That would be division one. Division 2 would begin on line 28 on page 2, continue through line 46, and would include all of page 3.
Senator Nicholas' request is that, in fact, the amendment be divided in two. Distinct parts, part one being all of page one.
Yeah.
Page two from line one down to page, or to line.
Are you sure?
28. And then the second division being the remainder of page two and all of page three. Take just a minute to look at this to see what we're doing. Yes, Senator Case.
I think when you just spoke of the division, you included 28, line 28.
28 is not included. It goes through 27.
Right.
Yes.
Got it.
While the sponsor is conferencing a little bit, I would say that
I think the
division one is all of page one of the amendment down through line 27
yeah.
of page 2, division 2 being starting at line 28 for the remainder of page 2, all of page 3. Would you like to speak to the division, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. And we may have to clean it up a little bit on third reading, but this will get it done. With respect to division 1, I'd urge you vote no on this amendment. You know, we've had a good discussion on this yesterday, and the issue is how are you going to administer this program in a manner that's going to encourage companies to come here? And this simply doesn't accomplish the result. It's complicated. It's messy, if you will. It just doesn't accomplish the purpose. I'd ask you to vote no.
Question is in regard to the first division, all of page 1 down to through line 27, page 2, the request is that you vote no. All those in favor of the first, I'm sorry, Senator Schiffer. Go ahead, Senator Meyer, and then we'll go to Senator Schiffer.
Yeah, Mr. President, the question and the concern I would have would be on lines 29 and 30 and back on the back on 13 and 14, we're saying we're going to pay a flat rate of 4% on a five-year commitment here to keep the money and hold these people harmless, and we're actually 4% is over the 10-year note, so we're paying a lot more money than what these guys would get on the open market. So if we want to do something and put it in one of these things, we probably should link it to a five-year treasury or one-year treasury or something like that, whatever term we have it. Otherwise, we're losing money.
Other questions regarding the first division before Senator Schiffer takes his turn? Other questions regarding the first division? Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may respond, there have been a number of concerns, and I am on the first division. I did some checking on this equipment. My understanding is that actually the rollover in this equipment is about on a 3-year cycle. That's how fast the technology advances, and they'll start replacing one of these racks actually in about 3 years' time, whether they go all the way through or they'll find a new way to do things, and that's about how long they last, as I understand it. But they don't replace them all at once. It depends on the machine, I guess. Giving it a 5-year span means that we'll get that rollover. We'll see how they're operating. I think we're safe there. In terms of the market rate, understand, folks, I'm all for giving incentives. That's why that rate was picked. When I came down here to the session, if not the number one thing on my mind, certainly incentives to businesses, foreign businesses particularly, was certainly on my mind, and that's why I'm a big promoter, as Mr. President well knows, of tax exemptions at lucrative rates, which we are giving them. But by the same token, these companies have to be held accountable, and that's what this does. This says, come in, we're going to build a, I don't know if you noticed it, it's out there, a 4-lane highway for them. Do they need a 4-lane highway? I've been told, no, that they don't need a 4-lane highway. But we're going to build one for them. This is a package deal. And then on top of the 4-lane highway that we're building at our expense, we're going to provide them with a wonderful tax exempt incentive. I think I'm probably going to get Jake with that pretty quick. But let's hold them accountable. In any business, where they get a favored status over the residents of the state, over the other industries in the state, we need to say, we want to verify exactly what you're doing, and we want to make sure that come Monday morning, we haven't seen a big truck pull in and move this stuff to some other venue. That's what this does. This says make a commitment. We're with your heart and soul. We'll provide the highway. We'll provide the tax incentive. But you got to stick with us. I ask you to support Division 1.
Senator Rossless, would you like to speak to the first division, please?
President, I would. On and against the first division of the amendment. Once again, what this basically is trying to hang on additional restrictions, additional constraints to a proposal that we're trying to put forward that will entice or lure corporations, domestic corporations, not foreign corporations, domestic corporations to our state. We can always take principled stands. We can do that. We can stand up and say, we are going to verify everything that you do. We're going to hold you to a tight, strict contract. We're going to make sure that you follow by the letter of the law. We're going to hold your money for 5 years before we'll give it back to you. We'll give you a nice little interest rate, but we're going to hold it to make sure that you fulfill every detail of this contract. We can certainly do that, Mr. President. That is well within our legislative options. But that's basically going to be the kind of thing that kills a bill. What it says to the corporation is that we don't trust you. Come to Wyoming, spend a lot of money here, create some jobs. We don't trust you. We hope you'll still come, but we're certainly not going to trust you. We trust a lot of other companies. People are free to come here, but you, we're not going to trust. This is not the type of message that I want to be sending when we're trying to create economic diversity in the state of Wyoming. We'll hold your money for you, and we'll give it back when we're satisfied. That is not a message, Mr. President, that we should be sending, and I'd urge a vote against Division 1 of this amendment.
Further conversation? Division 1, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think trust is a good issue. I think this legislature in the state of Wyoming has trusted a lot of people over the years. I can think of Amendment 4 loans. I can think of various experiments with coal gasification, coal turned it into gold. I can think of all the people that we've trusted and the things that happen in that aspect. But when I enter into business, I like to have it's not just all about trust. It's about mutual support. It's binding together. That's what I do with a contract when I enter into business. That's all this does. Undoubtedly, the person entity that builds this very, very large facility is going to have the best of credit. There'll be blue chip company, Mr. Chairman. And so the fact that we are requiring a kind of a deposit up front in the form of actually collecting the taxes, which will be refunded to them with interest, works very much in their favor. They can see that we also have skin in the game. They will be able to raise money to pay the taxes because they're going to be a blue chip company and they're going to get the money back. So to them, it's not going to actually affect the financial wherewithal because, the actual amount of money is not the issue. It's the effective cost and the efficiency of the center. And they're going to be able to just issue some bonds or borrow the money at favorable rates, deposit them and pay the taxes, receive a return on those taxes that they'll be able to evaluate. But raising the capital is not the issue. They just want the best possible deal. This does not cloud the best possible deal. It binds them to us, and it makes them our very dear friend, who we will always keep our eye on.
Is there any other before the sponsor takes his final shot on this division? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, for my second time. Mr. President, in terms of tax law, any entity that isn't based within the state in terms of taxes is referred to as a foreign company. I've been on revenue, and that's what they call them, is a foreign company because they're out of state. We're not degrading the company by doing that. That's what you call them. So if I refer to this company as a foreign company, for once I'm using perhaps a legal term correctly. But that's what they call them. In terms of what this does, it's accountability. Buy the cattle by the truckload, but make sure you count them off the truck. That's what this does. That's the nuts and bolts. I ask for your support. It's a wonderful amendment.
Question is, in regard to second reading amendment number 1, House Bill 117, first division. All those in favor of this division 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That division has failed. Back on the second division, Senator Nicholas, would you like to address the second division?
Thank you, Mr. President. With respect to the Second Amendment, there are some good things about the amendment. There are some things I think that are troubling. And what I'd ask is that you vote no, and then that we work with the sponsor of the amendment to come back with a different proposal. Here's the difficulty I have with the amendment. It begins by saying that the business council shall provide a report, and I'm okay with the business council providing a report. I think that is, in fact, their responsibility if they have, in part, provided us information on what their expectation is of the benefits. And the report has certain evaluation requirements, and that's fair enough. In the middle of the amendment, we require that the taxpayer provide the Department of Revenue information with respect to the number of jobs created or impacted by the utilization of the exemption. And I think it's fairly common in these instances for the taxpayer to provide an annual report showing, much like they do for their property taxes, their list out there of property, their property acquired. I do wonder whether we can provide that it's confidential because it's really retained. But that information doesn't necessarily get to the business council anyway, so it's not helpful to the business council to perform its task. So we have the business council task. They, of course, need to get certain information from the taxpayer in order to provide the report, but we don't have any synergy between what the Department of Revenue is doing or collecting and the business council. If we want the Department of Revenue to collect that information, turn around and generate a report, then that would be a task on them. But I think I concur with the idea of the motion that it ought to be the business council to provide these reports. And frankly, it wouldn't be even bothering me that they have to provide them annually just to show us, in fact, were their predictions accurate. But it seems to me that the amendment needs work. We can provide reporting, and but it's this probably isn't a strategically, I don't think we can get what we're looking for by the way it's written.
Any other discussion in regard to the second division before the sponsors? Senator Schiffer, would you like to go ahead?
Mr. President, on the second division. Mr. President, I split this up into two roles. The jobs analysis part, that's the bailiwick of the business council. They're good at it. We've all read the material they passed out earlier and other material they've done. That's what those folks are good at. In terms of the information going to the Department of Revenue, there's a couple advantages there. One, the information is secure. That's a prerequisite. The Department of Revenue has always been very protective of the tax information. They hold it confidential and release it only where appropriate. But what this amendment is getting at, when you allow an exemption, the company doesn't pay the tax. They don't report the tax. We don't even know what these tax expenditures are. We have numerous exemptions of this nature on our books. That's Title 39, and it's a big title in the law books. Without this sort of reporting, we don't even know what a lot of those tax expenditures are. We need to track them. We need to know the dollar amount. We need to see just what are we doing in terms of both an industry, a specific company. What is it worth to give them a tax expenditure? Without this reporting, because they pay no tax, this state won't even know what the subsidy is that we're making, in this case, to the data processing center. I urge you to pass this amendment. I'm perfectly willing to get together with my colleague from Albany County if it needs a little bit of refinement, and I think it does. In terms of making a track, let's put it on, and we'll come in. I certainly pledge to work with them if we need to bring some details in, and particularly some things back in from page one. I'm perfectly willing to do that. I ask for your support.
Further discussion on the second division, Senator Nicholas?
Mr. President, I think before we adopt this amendment, I think there is some inquiry, some due diligence for us to do. I'm quite certain that all this information is accumulated and provided to your local taxing authority, because when you pay your property taxes, in my instance, for example, I'm required to report to the treasurer every year new computer acquisitions so that they can put a tax on my personal property. And as you look back into the report on what the entity pays, you're required to show, to list all your personal property. Ranchers list how many cattle they have and how many sheepdogs they've got, or maybe they don't. But I think if you don't pay on your sheepdogs, you can't recover when somebody runs over them. But But anyway, I do know that with respect to commercial folks, they do list all their stuff, and it may be that we can get the same information from an existing form and then that be relayed over to the business council and then get a report. So I think there's a way to do this, and I'd urge you to defeat the measure.
Any other conversation regarding the remainder of the amendment, part two? I guess. Go ahead, Senator Schiffer?
Mr. President, thank you. And Mr. President, my colleague is absolutely right in terms of the property tax. That's local. We can find that out. In terms of the sales and use tax, that's Department of Revenue. And so that's why this is in here. That's why I specify the two different sources. We need both of them if we're going to really understand the magnitude of the grant we're giving. I'm not going to go into the cattle. Only the purebreds get run over anyway, and the sheepdog. No comment there. Tilly's too good a friend of mine to bother her with things on the floor.
I think we're ready for the question. Question being the second division of the Schiffer Amendment. All those in favor of this division, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That division has failed as well. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, House Bill 117, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Members of the Senate, today we celebrate breast cancer survivorship and honor those who have lost the battle with disease. It is also a day when we recognize the activists of the Komen Wyoming affiliate and their individual contributions to the breast cancer movement. We have several board members and volunteers of the Komen Wyoming affiliate on the floor and in the gallery. And I would like the body to recognize. So please help me in welcoming these Komen Wyoming affiliate members to the Senate. In addition, please help me welcome these folks here. In addition, Senator Nutting, who serves as a team leader for the Senate's Race for the Cure, would like to say a few words on how you can help this worthwhile cause. So, Senator Nutting, you may have the privilege of the floor.
As the team leader for the Wyoming's Race for the Cure in this Wyoming Senate, I'm pleased to pledge my support to the race and to invite your support for this tremendous cause. Each of us has known someone who has been affected by breast cancer, and we understand how the work to find a cure should not be finished until the disease is eradicated. The Wyoming affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure is working to better the lives of those facing breast cancer in our community. Through the events like the Komen Wyoming Race for the Cure, more than $2 million has been raised to support critical funding necessary for research, equipment screening, and treatment of breast cancer. Over 75% of these funds stay in Wyoming, going to local nonprofits for education, treatment, and screening. Please join me in the filling out the race entry form that you have at your desk, and join us for the race in Cheyenne on August 13th. So your forms look like this, and I will be happy to accept those from you. I've been told that this Wyoming Senate is one of the greatest supporters, and I'm pleased to be able to join you in that effort. Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you, Senator Nutting, and I thank you all for joining us today. I encourage those Senate members who can make it back to Cheyenne on August 13th to sign up for Wyoming's Race for the Cure, and for those who can't, to donate to this very good cause. And again, thank you all for being here today. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Mr. President, you're, sorry, I
demotion. That was a really major bad faux pas, I'll tell you. Mr. President, I beg for forgiveness. Third reading consent list is as follows. House Bill 3, liquor license transfers. House Bill 18, quarantine of animals. House Bill 19, assignment of retired circuit court judges. House Bill 31, paramutual regulation. House Bill 57, feral livestock. House Bill 60, taxation of oil and gas field services. And House Bill 61, omnibus water bill planning.
Would anyone like to have any of these bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 3, House Bill 18, House Bill 19, House Bill 31, House Bill 57, House Bill 60, and House Bill 61. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings. Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins excused, Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 3, are there any changes? Case eye to conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 3, 28 ayes, 1 excused, 1 conflict. House Bill 18, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 18, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 19, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 19, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 31, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 31, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 57, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 57, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 60, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 60, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 61, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 61, 29 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 3, House Bill 18, House Bill 19, House Bill 31, House Bill 57, House Bill 60, and House Bill 61 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading. Senate file, House Bill 15, third reading of the House bill.
House Bill 15, Weed and Pest Control, an act relating to weed and pest control. sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, several amendments. I'd ask that the reading clerk read in the first amendment at this time.
House Bill 15, third reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 13.
Senator Rothfuss, would you like to move this amendment and speak, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15, weed and pest control. Mr. President, I must say I didn't expect to be coming up with an amendment on the weed and pest control bill, but throughout the discussion we've had, you know, I've raised concerns and other of my colleagues have raised concerns with the concept of providing jail time for what is effectively failing to comply with a quarantine of weed and pest control or to an inspection of weed and pest control. Obviously, a fine is reasonable, but jail time still does not seem reasonable to me, and I haven't heard any reasonable justification for why someone would ever need to be in jail for 6 months based on an offense for this. So the purpose of the amendment, number one, is to remove the language that would allow that jail time while still providing for an increase in the potential fine, Mr. Chairman, where the original language provided for a $100 maximum fine under the misdemeanor, and the language as amended would provide for a maximum of $750 fine, restoring the original language and taking out the possibility of jail time. So, Mr. President, I think it's a simple and straightforward amendment to strip away the possibility of jail time for a violation of the provisions of this particular article. Thank you, Mr. President, for the
opportunity. Any other discussion or questions in regard to this amendment, Senator Hicks?
Mr. Chairman, in my discussion with the weed and pest folks, since the inception of this act, nobody's ever been thrown in jail. And I guess to address my good friend, the senator from the land of ivory towers, has a very innate fear of being declared a pest and thrown in jail by his rural compatriots here. I do think we want to diminish and assuage his concerns and would consider this a friendly amendment.
Question being called. Is there any further discussion in regard to the amendment? Third reading amendment number 1, House Bill 15. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has carried. There is a second amendment. I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
House Bill 15, third reading amendment number 2 to engrossed copy, page 4, line 5.
Senator Scott, would you like to speak to this, please?
Mr. President, I'm going to do something a little unusual here. Mr. President, I want to move this amendment with the exception of the reference on page 4, on line 4, which is the page 4, line 5 reference. That got in there somehow, and I think my communication with the attorneys misfired when I said take that out of there. I think they misunderstood what I meant.
I think, no. If I understand you, then you're saying that you're moving everything in the amendment with the exception of line 4 of the amendment, which addresses page 4, line 5 of the bill. And so in doing that, I think if the clerk has that notation, that would be appropriate to remove line 4 of the amendment and allow you to move the rest forward and speak to it, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. What this amendment... Let me explain what this amendment's about. I expressed previously a certain unease about this bill because I think that the system we've got is open to abuse, where you've got a situation where you get a board that tries to interfere with operations of other agricultural people, or where you get a board that gets on one side or the other, some local feud. And we all know that can happen, It's not a problem, Mr. President, with most of the weed and pest in this state, but I have seen that sort of thing, and it can be a problem. And after I expressed my unease yesterday, I was given a message that another senator had received that essentially said there's no criminal penalty for having a noxious weed on your place. And frankly, that's something I agree with. There isn't. But there is a civil penalty for not getting along with your weed board. And, Mr. President, that crystallized in my mind what my problem was here. And I spent some time last night trying to figure out how do we deal with that, because I think that also expresses the reality of what we've got out there. And what this amendment does is to say if you're going to have one of these, and the language finer or penalty, because that's the language back in some of the sections that this would apply to, the district board shall have the burden of proving that the proposed remedial action would control the target weed or pest, that the remedial action would be cost-effective and more cost-effective than what the landowner might propose, and that the weed or pest be controlled, whether native or not, not endemic, and was at risk of spreading to the land of others in the area. So these are the problem weeds that they're not the things that are there and you know, like dandelions that are there forever. These are the, or Canadian thistle, frankly, in many places. These are the ones where something new, like leafy spurge, comes into the area, and it's in everybody's interest that something be done about it. And if somebody's recalcitrant, they need to have that civil penalty. So that would transform the civil penalty into what it was intended for and would avoid the possibility of abuse. Mr. President, I'd be happy to answer any questions or urge adoption of the amendment.
Any questions of the sponsor? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm just looking on line 28. It's Romanet 3. And I'm trying to see how the word endemic works in with the phrase whether native or not. And I guess what we're trying to say here is that, and if I see endemic, the definition is native, local, or regional. And there are a lot of weeds or pests that are native, local, and regional. And I'm trying to understand exactly how that's going to work in there. Need a little clarification on that, because I'm not sure whether I can support Romanet 3, and I'd like a little more explanation about how whether native or not works in with the phrase, and if I put in was not native to the area rather than endemic, how that would read and what that would actually do.
Other question before the sponsor responds? Seeing none, I guess, Senator Scott, if you'd like to respond, please.
Mr. President, what I'm getting at, some of the weeds that are not, strictly speaking, native to this country, and I guess a dandelion actually would be an example. They're all over the place. You can't do anything about them. You don't worry about spreading them to your neighbors because your neighbor's got just as many as you do. That's what we're talking about there. The point is to get at the ones where you've got something new coming into a community. The one I've seen in our community was leafy spurge, where one patch got in the neighbor. Now, he was very good about it and jumped on it right away and got rid of it. And we didn't get that thing spreading in. But that's the sort of thing where you really need to have the penalties.
Other, Senator Meyer?
Mr. President, I guess I'd ask that to be provided
I don't believe it can stand by itself. Though, Mr. President, if I try to divide out 27, 28, and 29, I guess I'd have a ruling for the chair. I'd like to... And the reason, Mr. President, I guess I will come back with a third reading amendment or something, get with the sponsor.
This is third reading.
This is third reading, isn't it? Oh,
final
my gosh. I'll come back on fourth, Mr. President. Open
okay.
House. But
moving right along.
Mr. President, I guess I just look at this. I know where the sponsor is trying to go with this, but in our area, Canada thistle was endemic to the whole region before the weed and pest came there. It was just like dandelions. And so I want to have some comfort level that if we have a pest that's there and you have a weed and pest district come into that area and try to do something about it, that this isn't going to prevent it.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Guy.
I move House Bill 15 back one day without precedent.
Request is that the House Bill 15 be laid back without prejudice. Hearing no objection. Yes. Yes, go ahead, Senator Cole.
Vote on that motion.
Oh, the motion,
just
okay.
Request that, we wouldn't have to.
Yeah. The motion has been made that House Bill 15 be laid back until third reading tomorrow. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion has carried. House Bill 15 is laid back. Third reading tomorrow. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for considerations of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion is carried. Senator Cooper.
Committee of the whole come to order. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 2. Will the reading clerk read the House Bill?
House Bill 2, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Sunset, and Act Relating to Health Insurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case? Over here, okay? You're on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You find me?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do-pass recommendation on House Bill 2, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Sunset. If I can keep this gentleman next to me awake so he can fight his way through my presentation, I'll actually just yield to the good senator from Natrona County who will explain the bill.
Senator Scott, you on here.
What this bill does is it changes the sunset date on the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool. The Wyoming Health Insurance Pool is the program we have for those people who cannot get insurance in the regular market because they've got some kind of a pre-existing condition. They can buy, and there's two parts to it. If they're under 250% of the federal poverty level, they're paying a little over 100%, I think it's up to 133%, although I don't think they're quite there right now, of the market price for somebody that didn't have that problem. For somebody who's, and that part has some general fund in it that supports it regularly, and the other part is the group that doesn't fit under the 250% of federal poverty. They've got to pay, the statute, I believe, is between 150 and 200% of the regular market. So these are people who are paying through the nose because they have a pre-existing condition, but at least it gets them insurance, which they can't get any other way. We've got about 800 people, it's a little over 800 people in that pool. It's gradually grown over the years. And if we don't pass this bill, their insurance goes away on July 1st. So it's an important bill, very important bill to those people. Mr. Chairman, the reason for the date is that theoretically, under the national reform that passed, the need for these uninsurable pools is going to go away during 2014 when all the other subsidized coverages and the guaranteed issue and the individual mandate, all that kicks in. Mr. Chairman, count me profoundly skeptical that that will happen. But if those things, if that doesn't get repealed or thrown out by the courts, then the need for this might really go away. So it's appropriate that we extend the sunset out until past that 2015, after the 2015 general session, and then we'll need to take another look at it, given the condition in the insurance market at that time. But for now, this insurance is desperately needed by those people. Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions on this pool and on this bill.
Any further discussion on the bill? Okay, question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the stand. Whoops, I'm sorry. Go back to where I was at. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion. Whoops, got to get it right again. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 2, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed say no. Senate File 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration, House Bill 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 4.
House Bill 4, Department of Insurance Background Checks, and Act Relating to Insurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 4, Department of Insurance Background Checks, for an explanation of the bill, I would yield to the good senator from Campbell County.
Senator Scott. Or Senator, sorry. Boy, am I getting mixed up. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill
like
4 is an act relating to insurance, and it's providing for background checks for insurance providers, adjusters, and insurance consultants. This is in the Title 719, which is criminal procedures. As you go into on page 2 of the bill, it gives it where the criminal history record information shall be distributed by any criminal justice agency in this state, whether directly or through an intermediary. What this bill does is require then that we have people with licenses in insurance, also in insurance providers, adjusters, and insurance consultant be fingerprinted and submit to the criminal history record. This is already in effect for the long list of people and statues that work in different areas, such as family services, institutions, where there's children involved, and fire inspectors, anything that have confidential information. All of this is already required, and we're just adding the insurance people in there that have the license. Anybody from now on applying for initial license must be fingerprinted and have this criminal history provided. This will cost, they have to pay for it also too. They say the fingerprinting costs about $5 and the background check would be about $40. This would be average cost. This goes to the DCI and then they report to the insurance department. As you move on, 26-9-219 in page 3 refers to the adjuster's insurance license, excuse me. And then on page 4, 26-9-220 is the insurance consultant. Then they'd all be required then to submit to fingerprinting and a criminal investigation check, which they would have to pay. If an applicant is a license in another state and those requirements are similar to our state laws, well, then that information is sufficient. Basically, if it's for security in handling a classified or information, not really classified information, but private information. If there's questions to this House bill, I'll try to answer them. If not, I ask for your support.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, they do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 4. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. House Bill 4 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill 76, Game and Fish Turkey Pioneer Licenses, an act relating to game and fish, was sponsored by Representative Ken Escobel. It was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel. Excuse, Senator Christensen. Senator Burns, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 76, Game and Fish Turkey Pioneer Licenses. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the good senator from Devil's Tower.
Senator Driscoll.
Chairman, what this bill does is it's a real simple one-pager bill that corrects an omission, or I assume it was probably an omission when they formed the pioneer licenses in the state of Wyoming, given the old-timers reduced price license, turkey licenses were not included. So if you'll turn to page 2, all that happens is they correct some language and add or wild turkey. And on page 8, they also add wild turkey. So it's merely gives the pioneer hunters a chance to have a full gamut of the species to hunt at a reduced price. With that, if there's any questions, I'll answer them. Glad to answer them. If not, I ask for your support of the bill.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 76, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no.
No.
Okay. House Bill 76 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is
House Bill 101, and there is a couple amendments.
House Bill 101, Vicious Animals, Interference with Game Wardens, and Act Relating to Game and Fish, sponsored by Representative Moniz. Was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel. No, Senators Burns and Christensen. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 101, Vicious Animals, Interference with Game Wardens. There is a standing committee amendment, and I ask that it be read in at this point.
Reading clerk, read the amendment, please.
House Bill 101, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 2.
Mr. Chairman, I move the standing committee amendment, and with an explanation of the bill and the standing committee amendment and the committee of the whole amendment, I ask that you call on the good senator from Star Valley.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, bring you 101, Vicious Animals Interference with a Game Warden. Good representative from Albany County brought this as he saw some need there. He looked into the situation after apparently an experience there that led him to find out, and if you'd refer to that handout that's just coming out on your desks now, he found out that perhaps we have adequate protection for taking care of our big game animals, but not necessarily for our game wardens. Just like to read for that. Now, out of 23.3.109 under C, it is unlawful for any person to recklessly allow or direct a dog which he owns or is under his control to injure or threaten a big game animal. And his question then is, if we are willing to protect our big game animals, why not the game and fish law enforcement officers?
Senator Dockstader, excuse me, would you move kind of closer to your microphone a little bit there?
Certainly. Thank you. So we put together this legislation, and if I could explain, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, we've got a committee of the whole amendment that I need to explain at the same time I explain the bill. So could we proceed that way? And if it would be all right.
You may. You want to explain the bill first and then go into the standing committee amendment. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll explain the parts on the committee of the whole amendment when we arrive there.
Okay.
This is creating offense for failing to control a dog which attacks a game and fish law enforcement officer. Down under 23.3.408, we have under line 13 a person. And if I could, Mr. Chairman, explain there why we have the committee whole amendment. The sponsor wanted a little.
Wait. Go ahead. That's correct. Yeah, so you have go ahead.
Mr. Chair, would you Mr. Chairman, would you like me to move the committee of the whole amendment?
No. There's a standing committee amendment first of all that we have to deal with. Then need just move the standing committee amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move the standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 101.
Thank you. Now you can proceed.
All right, thank you. Under page 1, line 13, a person who fails to control a dog which he owns. Now, this is the confusion. The original language had an owner of a dog that bites or otherwise attacks in a vicious manner a game and fish law enforcement officer who is discharging his duties on public land. I'll come back to our amendment here in just a moment. He's guilty of a misdemeanor, punishable, is provided in this section. It is an affirmative defense to prosecution under this section that the dog was attempting to protect livestock. And then under B, a first violation is a low misdemeanor, and a second violation, second subsequent violation, is a high misdemeanor punishable as provided in that statute. So as we proceeded out of committee, Mr. Chairman, we felt like the language needed to be more specific. So at this point, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 101.
A point of order here, Senator. We have to act on the Standing Committee Amendment, which you moved on earlier.
Thank you.
If you'd like to call for the question on the Standing
Committee
Amendment,
Chairman,
we can take care of that.
Standing Committee Amendment.
Okay. All those in favor of Senator Dockstader's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 101, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no.
No.
Okay. The Standing Committee Amendment has passed. Okay, now you can deal with the Committee of the Whole Amendment if you wish, but you need to have it read in.
All right. Mr. Chairman, could we have that read in?
House Bill 101, Committee of the Whole Amendment.
House Bill 101, Committee of the Whole Amendment, number 1, to engross copy. Delete the Senate Standing Committee Amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole Amendment to House Bill 101.
Thank you. May proceed.
All right. Thank you. Apologize for the confusion on that body. We came out of committee. The sponsor felt like he needed to go back to more detailed language. He arrived at that. And so the first change, as noted, page 1, line 1, delete of, insert 4. And, of course, this deletes the original Standing Committee Amendment. And then on line 9, page 1, line 2, delete owning, insert failing to control. And on number 11 there, page 1, line 13, delete an owner of a dog, insert a person who fails to control a dog which he owns. Mr. Chairman and body, the sponsor of the bill felt like he needed more specific language to address what the problem he was trying to take care of. And with that, I ask for your favorable approval of the Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? Okay. The question's been called for then. All those in favor of Senator Dockstader's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment, number 1, to House Bill 101, please say aye.
Aye.
Any of those opposed, say no. Okay. The motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment, number 1, to House Bill 101 has passed. Senator Dockstader, you can proceed. We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm back on the bill. Essentially, that's what it is. So we've got in our statute situation where we're taking care of our big game animals and simply want to make sure that the protection is not only there for the big game animals, but for our law enforcement officers who are out there taking care of their job. Ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Burns... Senator Nicholas, get you on here.
Mr. Chairman, I... not heard there's a large problem out here with dogs that may be at large with game officers, and I would say there is one big significant difference. With respect that the question on the rhetorical question is why aren't we willing to protect game animals as law enforcement? Well, one, the law enforcement officers, we issue to them green trucks, and they have green trucks, and they also have weapons, and I mean, really... you create all these laws. There's a really significant problem out there that requires that we created a crime. And for an owner to have a dog that might be out, if you're a sheep herder and you've got a dog and you're running your sheep on, and it may be not the sheep dog, it may have been, Bell out there, gets out and bites somebody. And those things happen out in the middle of public lands often. I just wonder if it's really that big of a problem.
Senator Dockstader.
As far as how big the problem is, I can't answer that, but I can tell you that I do have to agree with the good representative from Albany County. That's a legitimate question. If we're willing to protect our big game out there, our big game animals, we should be willing to protect our game and fish law enforcement officers.
Any further discussion? Senator Rothfuss, you were up there, I think, first.
Mr. Chairman, I think we do have dog bite laws on the books. I think there are ways that that's already governed. I think that my colleague from Natrona County did point out the fact that these law enforcement officers tend to be armed, at least they're supposed to be, when they're on the job, and if they do feel that they're threatened enough by the dog, they're going to be okay from a legal standpoint. In defending themselves from that dog. I'm not entirely sure that we want, once again, to, you know, send somebody to jail or punish them as a result of an action of the dog when we already have other law on the books that does this. And I, too, would be interested to hear what we are trying to stop, what has been going on that this particular law is addressing. I haven't read about it in the papers. I haven't heard about it. And until I do, I'm a little bit less than confident in us moving forward on this legislation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Driscoll.
Chairman, to the great Senator Ivory Towers, as you're now referred to, there actually is no laws. We sat in committee, went through statutes. Counties are unable to enact laws. There is no laws in statutes for this purpose. And one of the problems is game wardens have complained that they really do not have full authority in this area. And we went at length through it. Could not find anywhere that it's there. Counties have the right to do it, but it's not in state statute, which they're out in the country, in the state. And it is a problem. It was, the bill came because a game warden came and said, this is a recurring problem I have. Please help me fix it. I think that's what we're here for, and I'd encourage you to vote for it.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I need a more explanation on this page two, line 1 through 3, where it says it is an affirmative defense to prosecute under this section that the dog was attempting to protect livestock at the time of the attack. That I don't understand what you're trying to get at there.
Senator Driscoll.
Chairman, once you, this is purely back to if a game warden's out along a creek and a dog comes over the hill that's out of a herd of sheep, it's to protect that dog and that landowner from being prosecuted, that the dog in that instance has the case to defend. And that's what those dogs are for, is to defend. And it merely pulls the liability away from that landowner when the dog's doing what he's there for.
Any further discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Very, very briefly on that point, what if the animal feels that it's defending its owner? Because we were just talking about the whole, shouldn't we treat game wardens as well as we treat our animals? All right, if we're going with that point, shouldn't we treat owners of animals as well as we're treating their livestock? I'm not sure that that's internally consistent.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as we were going through this in committee, I had a thought occurred to me, and you're out in a community where you get the call on the edge of town with a dog chasing the animals. The deputy responds, the police officer responds, the game and fish officer respond. The dog comes down for whatever reason and decides to go at him. He bites the deputy, he bites the police officer, and when he finally bites the fish and game officer, now we have a crime. By this, and
just a little more special.
Not that I'm opposed to protecting our game and fish officers, but it sets a status. I mean, it calls out one person doing their job as having protection and the others not. The counties do have the opportunity to do this with local control and deal with it at the county level. Now, the conversation came back that, well, some do and some don't. But again, I suggest to you that this is something we've enabled the local, lowest level of, the closest to the people level of government to work with. And to call out by statute one particular group and leave others unprotected or protected by this bill, urging our local counties to deal with it and exhaust those remedies before we select one group. And if we're looking at that, then I'd suggest that maybe it's not one group, but everybody involved in the public service that ought to have similar protections, which is then becomes a pretty large net.
Maybe the game warden's a little closer to the people. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was kind of wondering if the committee had explored, you know, perhaps some notion about intent as to whether the dog actually intended to cause bodily harm. Was that discussed? And maybe we should look into that. Because I think if it's not, there's not intent, I don't know. Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure why we put this in the game statute, because, you know, I suppose if a dog is operating under the command of someone and they've been, dog is told to attack, that's one kind of a crime. I'm not sure that a failure to control, that's a pretty hard thing to to establish. And I'm also bothered by the fact that this just singles out one form of law enforcement officers, which deal with our game code, of course, and leaves everybody else out. Probably not the best place in the statute for this. But I really would like an answer about that intent.
Okay. Senator Scott, you have an answer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm along the lines of the previous two comments. One of my neighbors had a dog, and it was a heeler, blue heeler, a real good cow dog. And you'd be working cows with them, and all of a sudden your horse would just blow up and go off bucking. And you'd get him under control, and you'd look back, and there was that dog sitting on his haunches and grinning. What he had done is he'd healed the horse. He wasn't vicious. He just had a sporting sense of humor. And with this bill, is that dog guilty? Or is he only guilty if it's a game warden that happens to be riding a horse? And does it make a difference if he's on duty or off duty? You know, we are singling out one group here. And as I say, the dog wasn't vicious, but he sure had a sense of sporting humor.
Any more interesting stories on this? Okay. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't mean to dog pile on here. I think good senator to my left, I think that's a dog with just a sense of humor, like you said. And it's good to keep cowboys on their toes. You don't ever want to get your heels in the stirrups. You know, I know a little bit about this because I grew up in a family where my dad was a part-time game warden, and I happen to know that the game wardens have the ability, when dogs are chasing wildlife out there, when they're attacking animals when they shouldn't be, when they're doing things they shouldn't be, I don't think our game wardens even hesitate. I think they take those dogs out. So, you know, maybe the answer to this problem is for them to just claim they were chasing a deer and not chasing them. And then they just take them out. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've been watching all these dogs lately, particularly the last couple of days after our debate on the floor here. But I just wonder if we don't have a solution here looking for a problem. Do we really have documented cases where that game and fish guy can't protect himself? I mean, are there documented cases out there where a game warden has been attacked by a vicious dog? I'd like to know what's really going on out there.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I know what it feels like to be chased by the wolf pack now. There are action cases. It was a game warden that came to have this bill sponsored, and I represent all of you. They have the ability to shoot a dog that's chasing a deer, but they don't have the ability to take care of one that's coming after them. And basically, I'm sure they can shoot one if it's a bad enough situation, but it says vicious. It doesn't say when your horse rode by. It says with vicious intent if you read the bill. And it, you know, when they're coming at you with their teeth barred and you're a game warden, you're left with a tough situation if you don't have something there that says you can either charge or do whatever you need to do. And my response would be probably they're going to shoot the dog, but then you may end up with one of my good colleagues that sits behind the desk with a lawsuit. And we're merely trying to do it where he can do the right thing.
Senator Dockstead.
Mr. Chairman, interesting discussion.
Very.
The intent of the dog, no, we did not discuss that in committee. I think we lose focus on what the intent of the bill is there, and that is the protection of the game warden. Appreciate the good comments, the stories. Let me, so many there, to the good senator from Albany, your good colleague from Albany provided me with information that, yes, the counties do have their own laws regarding that as well. What his intent was and what I think we're trying to do here is to simply point out that we are holding the attack or injury of a big game animal above the officer that is actually called on to take care of these matters. In answer to the good chairman's question on actual documentation, no, that was not provided. I think it's the content that we're looking at here, and that simple question, are we willing to protect big game animals Why not the Game and Fish officer? Thank you for your consideration.
Any further discussion? Okay. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 101, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Okay, this bill has failed. So, and because of that, we have to have a standing a vote division. So all those... I have to have standing division first. Senator... Burns, did you have...
Mr. Chairman,
I'm thank you. All those in favor, please rise. Please rise, all in favor. Okay. All those opposed... Well, all those opposed, rise. Might as well do it. Give you some exercise. Okay, 20. Pursuant to Senate Rule 11-5, having failed the standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. Will the Chief Clerk call the roll?
Bebout? Excused. Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen? Coe? Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel? Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins excused. Peterson? Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer, Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson excused. Closing vote, closing vote closed. 6 ayes, 21 noes, 3 excused.
House Bill 101, having failed a roll call vote pursuant to Senate Rule 11-5, is deemed indefinitely postponed. The next bill for our Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Oops, sorry. Got to get you on the mic. As soon as I find you here. Okay, Majority.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You heard the motion. All in favor? It passed. Mr. Vice President, yeah.
There you go, sir.
There are no messages. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. Are there any announcements?
Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Hastert. Senator Geis.
Public Land and Water Resources. I have a long list of bills we're going to take care of tonight. House Bill 151, Hydropower Development, engrossed. House Bill 230, Eminent Domain Wind Energy Collector System 2. House Bill 135, engrossed. State Lands Improvement 2. House Bill 7, Wyoming Veterinary Medicine Practice Act 2. House Bill 174, Designated Transfer of State Lands. House Bill 202, Railroad Fencing Repairs. House Bill 223, Property Disclosure Statement Wind Estate.
Senator Hines.
Mr. Vice President, your committee.
Number 3, Revenue, will meet 15 minutes after recess.
Appeals and House Bill 255, Veterans Tax Exemption.
Any other announcements? Senator Christensen.
Mr. Vice. Committee number one, Judiciary, will take up Friday morning at 8 a.m. in room S1 to consider the following bills: House Bill 159, Engrossed Uniform Trust Code Amendments; House Bill 157, Abolition of Worthier Title Doctrine; and House Bill 158, Rule Against Perpetuities.
Any other announcements? If not, you've heard the motion. The Senate shall stay on recess until 2 p.m.